beautiful souls, and welcome to the Find Your Feminine podcast with your host, Carly Jade, where we discuss all things harnessing your menstrual cycle, trusting your intuition, and letting go of limiting beliefs. I am a rapid transformational therapy practitioner helping women just like you all over the world find themselves, uncover their soul's purpose, and live an abundant life fully in feminine flow. I am so happy that you've shown up today. And without further ado, ladies, let's jump straight into today's episode. Everybody, and welcome back to the Find Your Feminine podcast. So today we are discussing all things belly rings with an acupuncturist, Jacinta, who, yeah, I guess you'll learn during the episode, but I've recently discovered that there is this whole traditional Chinese medicine background to why belly piercings cause infertility or fertility problems or anything reproductive, whether that be your period. And my whole period changed as soon as I took mine out. It was very intuitive, but I'll share more in the episode. So definitely stay tuned for that. Before we start, I have a few announcements, and I just wanted to, I guess, address, yeah, the audio is not that great in the episode. So hopefully I've done my best to try and make it sound a little bit better. Just sometimes over Zoom, it's not the greatest. So I do apologize, and hopefully it's not too bad. But announcements. So for this week only, up until next Tuesday, which I believe is the 24th of November midnight, I will be giving away a free RTT session. I'm so excited about that. I just feel like in a very, very good giving mood this week. So yeah, you guys can win a free RTT session with me online if you feel called to do it. Get rid of all those limiting beliefs and self-sabotaging habits before we enter the next amazing year, which is 2021. So all you have to do is check my Instagram. So my handle is at Carly Jade, CARLIEJADE. And all you have to do is like the photo. You'll see it as one of my top ones. Just tag your friends in the contest, and multiple entries are welcome. And just share the post to your story if for an additional entry. And just make sure any of your friends are following me as well if they want to be in the draw. And pretty much after that, on Tuesday next week, the announcement or the winner will be drawn, which is really exciting. And then next week as well, we've got another Zoom workshop. So I love doing these Zoom workshops. And the topic is all about finding your purpose. Yeah, and these are practices that I did when I was sort of studying, I guess, RTT, and really confused and where I wanted to take it. I always thought RTT would be like my mommy job, and yeah, it's not, because there's no babies in the foreseeable future right now. So if you feel called to do a workshop with me, definitely head over to either my website, www.carlyjade.com, check out my events tab, or check out my Instagram bio. All the details are in there. So if you feel called to do that, definitely check it out. What it entails is we're pretty much going to go back to three scenes from your childhood and understand what you love doing. And usually those are clues into what you should be doing today, because when you're a child, there's not a lot of subconscious programming done yet. And we are able to, I guess, lift the layers of the programming that happened before people told you you couldn't do it, or you don't make money from things like that, or art's like a dead end job. Basically all the things that you're doing that people told you not to do because it wasn't society correct. You know what I mean? So if you feel called to, yeah, definitely check out my bio. If you can't tell, I'm super tired today. I feel like sleeping. But I will not waste your time anymore, and let's jump straight into today's episode. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the Find Your Feminine podcast, Jacinta. We met probably a month ago or a bit now. I don't even know. Time goes so fast.
Yeah, it was around that a month ago.
Yeah. And if anyone follows my Menstrual Monday sort of series, I posted on there that I had done some research about belly piercings and how that affects your fertility and your menstrual cycle. And when I did the research, I was astounded by what I found and how going through my own journey, how I felt so much better by intuitively taking that belly ring out and the changes that had happened in my body. Then Jacinta messaged me and confirmed it was all true. And I was like, oh my God, I need to get you on the podcast. So here we are.
Thank you.
If you wanted to give a bit of a quick intro about yourself, why you started acupuncture as well.
Sure. Okay. So I am Jacinta. I've been in clinical practice now for just over 5 years. And when I first started practicing, I actually wasn't really that interested in women's health. I was looking more at gut health. I was looking more at mental health support. But as I guess as I've gotten older, as my own cycles changed, as it's popped up with, you know, friends having babies and then having trouble having babies, my interest has kind of gone more down that direction, which has been a really fascinating kind of avenue to go down, really.
Mm. And I guess like when you started learning about, did you go down the, I think it's obviously yes, but traditional Chinese medicine, what made you want to choose that as opposed to anything else? Like what were you doing before you found acupuncture?
I was studying myotherapy, which is that kind of like physiotherapy, I guess, very hands-on musculoskeletal kind of based therapy. And I actually started getting acupuncture at the student clinic around the same time, even though I am very terrified of needles. And was really amazed at all the connections it was drawing in what I thought were random symptoms that, you know, my own GP wasn't really able to pinpoint. And when I chatted to the student practitioner there, they explained it to me in a way that actually ended up making a lot of sense. And so instead of thinking that I was, you know, just randomly, you know, nauseous or with digestive issues, you know, they all kind of connected it back to this Chinese medicine theory. And at the same time, I wasn't really enjoying the physically hard work of myotherapy. I kind of thought, oh, maybe I could stick pins in people for a living and switch subjects, I think, within a couple of weeks of trialing my first acupuncture session.
Nice. And you haven't looked back ever since?
Pretty much. It's been a pretty epic adventure.
Yeah, nice. And what would you say, I guess, is the most rewarding part of your career now?
Look, there's lots of parts, but my very, very favorite thing is when I get someone that comes into the clinic that is not necessarily a believer. So they'll come in because their partner or a family member has kind of made them come in. And then they come back to me, you know, one treatment, five treatments, 10 treatments later, and telling me actually how good they're feeling. And how their initial kind of reason for coming in is actually starting to dissipate and go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so beautiful.
Converting the non-believers is actually pretty fun.
Nice. Has there been any cases where like, oh, just some person, well, usually the case with me, it's always like, oh, my partner has this, I've booked in a session for him, he's going to join you, and like the partner doesn't really want to go, but then the girlfriend's like, do it. And they're sort of like forced to. Do you get that as well?
I get that a lot. And especially with like fertility, because the women are like super driven, you know, they're like wanting to do everything that they can. And the partner's kind of like, nah, you know, it'll happen. It's fine. And then kind of will come in and just say, yeah, I'm literally just here because my partner made me come in and it's easier to keep them happy than to not come.
Yeah, of course. Happy wife, happy life.
That's what they say.
So you said before we jumped on today that your love for female health it wasn't always like that. It was something that evolved over time, I guess, because, yeah, I love all things feminine health. I would love to hear how that transitioned and evolved into what it is today. And would you say like fertility and female health is one of the top things that you treat or one of your favorite things that you treat?
Probably a bit of Both. So when I first jumped into practice, I was kind of in a, I was working actually in an osteopath clinic. So most of the patients that were coming through were definitely more like musculoskeletal based, headaches, you know, knee pain, those types of things. And then I switched to a general medical practice. And the patients that were coming in then started to get a little bit more varied. And so I started getting a couple of patients popping up that were going through IVF treatments. And there's lots of research around acupuncture being able to support IVF outcomes. So as they started popping up, they were really interesting. I started getting more into the research. And then, sorry, long-winded story. And then getting into, I've actually got approached by one of my old uni lecturers who he works very specifically in women's health. Like he treats everything. He won't turn anyone away, but he really loves women's health, cycles, fertility, all of those things. And he asked if I wanted to come work with him a couple of days a week. And being my favorite uni lecturer that I'd had, I was like, yes, this would be great. He's also a herbalist as well. So he kind of teaches me Chinese herbs. And then that's when I really got the influx of lots of women's health issues and started to research and read more about it and how common fertility issues are, which is when really don't talk about, and, you know, endometriosis and PCOS and all of these things that women go through that no one really discusses, at least not super openly, like more so these days, but especially the fertility side of things is just not talked about. And it's fertility issues are so much more common than we know about. So it's been really good going down that path.
Yeah. And is it always rewarding when they come back and tell you that they're pregnant as well?
It is literally the best feeling ever. And it's also just as devastating when they get a negative pregnancy test because I get so involved in their, you know, in this process that, you know, you get that massive elation of, yes, I'm pregnant and everyone feels amazing and life is great. But then you've got the flip side of, oh, no, this cycle didn't work or not pregnant this month.
Yeah.
And, you know, lots of emotions. So you really ride the roller coaster of emotions when you're doing fertility work with patients because you feel just as invested almost in it as they are.
Yeah, 100%. I always say I had my first pregnancy, but that doesn't make sense. My client got pregnant. I've done a couple of fertility since I started and had my first baby, which is exciting.
Oh, yay.
And it was so rewarding. And it's like, I guess the one thing that I really love about alternative holistic wellness and health is we are supporting them. We're not the people in the white coats going, oh, you have no eggs, so we have to do X, Y, Z and surgery and insert you with this. It's like we're actually instilling hope in them, and that's something that I guess some of the Western medicine forgets to do, or they don't know how to do it. So I think that's also like my favorite thing with clients is just like, yes, you can have a baby. Yes, there's nothing wrong with you. It's like there's so many more modalities that you can do to achieve what you want. It's just like with anything, it takes time or, if it was easy, I mean, everyone would do it and that goes with everything. But, yeah, that's super cool. I'm still learning about traditional Chinese medicine. I haven't had too many acupuncture appointments as well, so I might have to come see you. But I would love for you to just tell us really what it is, because I still get not confused, but I just don't know anything about it really.
That is all right. It is a very, very old, very kind of complex system of medicine. So I will do my very best to explain it. So it is really, really, really old. Like I don't think they've even got a recorded date. It actually apparently predates recorded history. That's how old it is. And the goal of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, because Chinese medicine does encompass not only acupuncture but also dietary therapy, herbal therapy, meditation, physical exercise like qigong, and then massage as well. So it kind of incorporates everything. And the very basic goal of Chinese medicine treatment is to kind of restore balance and harmony in the body. We talk a lot about qi flow. You know, qi is that kind of vital energy that flows through our body and keeps the blood pumping through our veins and the breath going in our lungs. And we also talk a lot about like the yin and the yang as well, which are those two opposite energies, but they also intermingle as well and work together. You know, you can't have one without the other. So Chinese medicine is based all around balancing the body from that yin and yang perspective and also the flow of qi. Is that making a little bit of sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So when we give an acupuncture treatment, we use, you know, very, very fine acupuncture needles, and they're popped into very specific points in the body that are along those channels or meridians. And when we pop them into the body, what we're often trying to achieve is some kind of change in the flow of qi, whether that's because the qi is blocked in a particular spot, whether it's because there's not enough qi flowing around the body, so we're trying to build up the qi as well. I think I've just lost my train of thought a little bit. But it's all very simply based around qi and having enough qi, and your qi's got to move freely. There can't be too much of this. There can't be not enough of that. And qi is also really affected by our external environment as well. It's affected by our emotions. It's affected by injury. It's affected by food. We also have different types of qi as well. You know, we've got our gu qi, which is our qi that comes from our food. You know, when we take that in, we transform and transport it to where it's got to go. So that's a particular type of qi. We've got our wei qi, which is our defensive qi. So we'd probably think of that as like our immune system. So it protects us from getting sick. We've got our qi that we get from air. You know, we breathe in the oxygen into our lungs and our body transforms that into a certain type of qi. We've got the qi we're born with, which we get from our parents, you know, like our prenatal qi. So, you know, there's a lot of different moving parts in Chinese medicine kind of theory as well.
And when you have someone on your table, how do you test where to put the needles in, or how do you know?
So we go through a very incredibly comprehensive like health history when someone comes in. I ask them 3 million questions, what feels like. A lot of questions also don't always seem super relevant to maybe their specific issue. You know, I'm asking about sleep and energy and stress and digestion and pain and all of those different things, you know, even if they're coming in for back pain. And they're like, why do you want to know about my menstrual history when I have back pain? And so from all of those questions, we kind of develop a Chinese medicine diagnosis. And from that, we would pick specific acupuncture points to help correct that kind of disharmony in the body. And so the acupuncture points, they're always in the same spot on people. So we'd pick very specific points that flow along those channels to help support that diagnosis. As well.
Yeah, nice. And for what would need a really long, intense session, or like maybe a multiple amount of sessions as opposed to like one or two, like how do you scale that? Is everyone different?
Everyone is different. Chinese medicine, because we're trying to correct the underlying disharmony in the body, but we're also not forcing the body to do something. It's not like taking the oral contraceptive pill and just shut it, like forcing the body to shut down ovulation. What we're doing is trying to gently nudge the body back to where it's got to go. So acupuncture, we have what they call like a delayed cumulative effect. So one treatment builds on the next, but often your results you're kind of noticing come a little bit further down the track. If we're working with fertility especially, we're kind of looking at like a 3 month minimum treatment. Because even in Western medicine, you know, our hormones have that kind of 3 month cycle. The same with guys when we're talking about like sperm health, you know, when we're talking about fertility, it's all like a 3 month turnover for these things. The only time I'm probably treating people for, say, less than four sessions would be if it's coming for like acute pain, you know, they've hurt their neck or something like that. But for the most part, acupuncture and Chinese medicine was always really designed as like a preventative medicine. So like in ancient China, the acupuncturist would go around to the village and they'd treat people. And a sign of a really good acupuncturist was when no one in the village got sick. But if people started getting sick, that was kind of a sign that they weren't really doing their job properly. And then they had to go and see someone else as well to kind of fix the illness. So ideally, in the ideal world, people would be coming to acupuncture on like a semi-regular basis, even when they're feeling really good, to keep themselves healthy. It's like going to the gym or eating well. If you want to look at it that way, as opposed to I'm sick and I need someone to fix me.
I was just about to ask you that because I was like, nothing's wrong with me at the moment, but I want to try it. So that answers my question. And I guess, yeah, we are often like, we need to fix something. We're not preventative. We're like reactive based.
With
the medical realm of things. But yeah, that's really nice. Oh, I'm excited now. Yeah. And now diving more into like specifically about this belly ring and how it really affects everyone. I'll just share if anyone wasn't listening to that Menstrual Monday. So I came off the pill in 2018, I think, end of 2018. And I hadn't been on anything and I wasn't ovulating for about a year and a half. And I was doing everything in my power, not stressing over it, but I was doing everything that the book said pretty much. I was on fertility awareness methods and then I was eating all the good things and exercising and not exercising during my menstrual cycle and X, Y, Z. And then it wasn't until, probably a couple of months ago, maybe even 3 or 4 months ago now, my belly ring just came out. And I never replaced it. And then my basal body temperature spiked that month or the month after. I can't remember. And then I was like, oh, that's strange. Like, I don't know what I did. And then it wasn't until a couple months after that that I sort of put two and two together. Maybe that was what was affecting my fertility and why it wasn't flowing, or the chi wasn't flowing through the meridian. Is that the right?
Perfect.
So I'd love to hear, I guess, maybe some research around it, what you've seen in clinic, and your take on this belly ring affecting fertility and menstrual cycle and all around like female health.
Okay. So I did, once you kind of asked me about this, I did a bit of bit more research around it as well, because I would say I don't really get many women that actually have a belly button ring in. So I've never really thought about it too much, apart from, you know, my own belly button ring experience. And I took that out when I started studying Chinese medicine after learning after a particular theory class. I went, oh, I probably shouldn't have that in. After my research, this is kind of what I found. So as I was saying before, we've got all these channels that flow over our body and they're all in very specific spots. We have a particular channel called the Renmai, which is also known as the conception vessel. And it runs from basically between the anus and that posterior labia part. And it runs all the way up the center of the body, right at the midline, through the belly button, and finishes at the bottom of the lip. Now, this particular channel, it's really responsible for nourishing our blood and our yin. So our yin is that very soft kind of feminine energy. It's responsible for moistening. So in that way, you'd think about that change in your cervical mucus as well around that fertility time. The channel regulates the uterus. It promotes conception, maintains pregnancy, regulates delivery, and promotes breast milk as well. So it's a really, really important channel when it comes to all things fertility. So Ben, when we talk about the belly button ring, what we're doing is we're actually creating a very physical blockage in that channel. So you're stopping the flow of chi, basically, which is what you were saying before. We also never really needle that point. So that point, it kind of sits where a belly button ring is normally pierced, is just above Ren 8, which is the actual belly button itself. And we never pierce that. What we would do in that area is we would like use warmth to warm it up if we've got like a bit of cold stuck in our uterus or abdomen, or we might use a little bit of cupping over the area to pull out any cold that's stuck in there, just so we've got a nice kind of warm, fertile environment. So, yeah, we definitely never needle that. So when we pierce it, we're creating that blockage, which means the energy can't flow through freely, and you're kind of creating like a dam, you know, if the river was flowing through there. You're creating that kind of very physical blockage. And women, like you said, find that when you take it out and that energy kind of corrects itself and starts moving again, things, fertility, menstrual-wise, change.
Definitely. Is there any other spots of the body and face of where piercings are common that also disrupt that?
That's probably the main one, because it's such an area that we focus on, and the midline of the body is almost extra important as well. But so lots of people say get their nose pierced or things like that, and I haven't really heard of any other issues in those areas. I know some people do actually get specific ear piercings for, say, migraines, but that actually ends up helping their migraines. So that theory would potentially be that having a point almost constantly stimulated would change the flow of chi in some way. Might not necessarily block it, but change the flow of it. And some people that have chronic migraines, it's that chi flow change that helps correct those issues. But the belly button ring is probably the main one that I would know about.
Because after I read that, I got scared. I only ever have my ears pierced. I've only got like the one there. And I was like, ooh, not that I'm getting anything else. I was like, that's scary. Yeah, I guess you got those hardcore people that get the piercings in their wrists and like in their forearms.
Yeah.
Or like on their back and nipples. The whole lot. Like, I don't even know. There's so many. Would any of those affect it if anyone's listening with a nipple piercing?
You know, because the nipple piercing does run through this specific channel as well. I'm just thinking whether it's spleen or stomach. My brain's kind of gone a little bit blank. I think that one might be stomach. So it could, you know, you could even have people have like digestive issues from that as well. But again, it's not something I see super common. And because women are not taking their tops off when they're in is we don't really have the discussion of, hey, do you have your nipple pierced?
Yeah. I actually had a coworker where she got a MRI or a scan done, and she came back to work and showed everyone in the office, but she forgot that she hadn't seen it and she had a nipple piercing. So she pulled it out of the thing, and her nipple piercing is just showing everyone.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I guess it gives me a bit of a overall understanding of, I guess, yeah, that main energy point that's running through our body, and it's so important because I feel like, yeah, if you are looking to either regulate your cycle or want to gain or get pregnant, there's so many different ways in which you can do that. But I very strongly like love for people to choose a method that suits them, because one thing's not going to work with everyone, I don't feel. And it's just like whatever modality is calling you, and like whether it's acupuncture or whether it's hypnotherapy, like there's so many different things, and just having all these readily available now is so exciting. So you still practice with nutrition?
Yeah, so I don't really tend to do nutritional consults by themselves unless specifically requested, but I usually include it as part of the Chinese medicine consult anyway.
Yeah. And how would, if someone was coming in for fertility, seeing you for fertility or menstrual, maybe painful periods or no periods at all, how would you use nutrition to enhance that as well?
So I guess we would do a pretty comprehensive like dietary analysis and see if they're consuming foods that are going to adversely affect them. So for example, there's a lot of research these days now around avoiding gluten for people with endometriosis just due to its inflammatory nature. So we would have a look at that. We don't eat very well in the West. Like, it sounds really terrible, but even those of us that are conscious of what we're eating, it's a lot of effort to eat really, really good, nutritious food all the time, because we have such easy access to junk, basically. So I would be going through and seeing where we could make changes, where people can make slightly better choices, especially if they're busy and on the run, making sure they're getting enough of, you know, their carbs and fats and proteins. And then we'd also probably look at nutritional supplements as well, because our soils are very deficient, and they're just not containing the same levels of those kind of vitamins and minerals as they used to. So our fruit and veg are probably less nutritious now than they were 50 years ago. Mm. So we'd be looking at if we had to include any nutritional supplements in that. Big ones we look at are like fish oil. Most of us don't actually eat enough omega-3s. We don't eat, people either don't eat fish or they're not consuming it from other sources. And we put people on multivitamins usually because, just like I said, our soils are not great. So our fruit and veg is not as great as it could be. Mm. So we just kind of see what we can tweak in those ways to help support people.
Have you seen Kiss the Ground on Netflix?
I don't think I've watched that yet.
So good. It's American, like everything else. But it went into the soil and how nothing's growing in these spaces anymore because all the pesticides and all the really bad things that they've done, and they're just trying to it's hard to explain because I don't really get farmer talk, but the soil's dead pretty much.
Yeah.
And they were trying to do these like biodiverse like farms where they had like a million different things on one farm as opposed to having one strawberry farm and having one orange farm. It's just incorporating a whole heap of things so you can get more from it, and it's seasonal, and it's like then the cattle come in, and it's like this circle of life that you don't need pesticides and you don't need all this bad stuff that harm people. So I'll put it in the show notes. But if anyone wants to watch that and yourself, it's a really good documentary. My brother made me watch it. He thought I was vegan. So he was like, watch all these documentaries with me. And then he turned to me. He's like, how's being vegan like? I was like, I just ate a sausage. I'm not vegan. Anyway, so trying to connect with me a little bit more. That's fine. Funny. And is there any last parting words that you wanted to share with us? Any thoughts of wisdom?
Probably that if you're thinking about wanting to get pregnant in the next, this is for anyone, in the next, say, 6 to 12 months, is start your preparation now. Mm. It's one thing that Western medicine doesn't really focus on is this preconception health.
Mm.
Is the healthier you are leading up to trying to conceive, generally, as long as you don't have any other underlying conditions, the easier it's going to be. You know, egg quality, sperm health, you know, they all take minimum of 3 months to improve once you make dietary lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. So I say give it minimum 3 months, but in the ideal world, people would be coming in 6 months beforehand just so we could see where their cycle's at, you know, see if we need to fix things like irregular cycle, if we needed to look at heavy periods or not enough, you know, like light periods or painful periods. You know, if we could help to, I'd say, decrease these symptoms or improve, you know, their overall menstrual cycle, it's going to be easier for them down the track. And, you know, hopefully they either weren't going to have to go through IVF or it just, they wouldn't have to go through as many cycles. So start looking after yourself sooner rather than later, especially if you want to conceive.
Mm, yeah, beautiful. And I guess the biggest thing that I took away today was the fact that acupuncture is a preventative thing.
Yes.
I just like, it's still mind-blowing for me. So I guess there's not many, is there anything else that's preventative? I don't really.
Well, nutrition should be. I mean,
yeah, true.
You know, naturopathy, but again, people tend to only seek them out when they're unwell, and normally they only seek them out when they're literally desperate and nothing else has worked for them, which is when I get a lot of patients as well.
That's when I get a lot of patients as well.
they've tried everything and they've jumped on Google and they're like, oh yes, acupuncture can help with this pain that I've had for 20 years. And then they go, and you didn't fix me in one session? That's crazy.
I know, right? It's like, it's not this magic pill that people, yeah, although that's what the pharmaceutical industry is, but that's another topic for another day.
I love a long discussion.
Well, thank you. Anyone that's listening in Brisbane, where could they find you and work with you?
So I work on the north side of Brisbane. I currently practice from two clinics. One of them is called Ginseng Acupuncture, which is in Stafford. Mm-hmm. That's a very small women's health driven clinic. And then the other clinic I'm at is GoTo Health in Everton Park, which is more of that GP medical centre. So we've also got physios and doctors and nurses and psychologists, and we've got a whole big massive team there. So two different clinics on the north side, and I work 5 days a week. So if you need to come in, I'm sure we can find a time.
Awesome. And yeah, we'll include all of your details below and where people can book as well if they wanted to get on board with this preventative acupuncture. I don't know what else to call it. Method.
Wonderful. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's okay. And I guess we will talk soon.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear your key takeaways, so please leave a review on your favorite podcast app, and don't forget to share this episode on social media and tag me at Carly Jade. Now go out and find your feminine.